Okay, everyone, welcome back. This is our bonus segment for the week. I mentioned on the radio show itself, we'll post this on Patreon. It might get posted other places too. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Maybe our YouTube as well. You know, we'll see.
This is like our first ever bonus one. It's going to be right before we go on hiatus.
Yeah, right. But I don't know. I just kind of wanted to like just talk about like our past a little bit more and what we've done in the year and 3 months or so that we've been on the air.
Yeah. Down.
It's been quite the ride, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, we've covered like a large number of topics. I mean, just today I was kind of along with Matt here going over the long list of show notes that we have, which is there's a bunch of them.
Oh my God, they go for days.
Oh yeah, for days. But yeah, even just the variety of topics that we cover, even setting aside the large number of bills that we cover, just again broad topics, even COVID-19 being one, the East Palestine train derailment, general corporate greed stuff, which within it also has plenty of subtopics like the HB6, you know, inflation and sort of CEO pay, unions, and then just Republican shenanigans, you know.
Like, shenanigans is quite the word to call it, but yes, shenanigans,
tomfoolery. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, you know, to touch
shenanigans,
a few, right? Like,
tomfoolery, taking people's rights away, you know.
Yeah, same thing.
As it goes,
same thing. They're hooligans, you know.
Those
silly boys, and I do mean probably boys because they're mostly white men. But
yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
I think one thing that's kind of interesting to note is the topics that we had on our very first show.
Mm-hmm.
So our very first show that was public, you and I did a couple of like practice run shows before that.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, we wanted to make sure we kind of knew what we were doing before we actually went on air.
Fresh-faced young lad.
Yeah, right. But our first one that actually aired was we were talking about COVID numbers because that episode came out on March 6th, 2022.
COVID was popping.
Yeah, we were like... That was around the time when I was going to say that the shots were new, but no, that was not the case. The vaccines have been out the year before that, sometime in 21.
Yeah.
But we hadn't really turned a corner yet.
Yeah.
Not in the way we have now.
Right.
So we talked about that a bit. We also talked about how healthcare providers were suing the state of Ohio for the right to abortion.
It's funny how things kind of stay the
same. Yeah, that was before the Dobbs decision.
Right.
Like, at that point, people knew that decision was going to go to the Supreme Court, but we weren't really sure I was going to end up,
but
we had a good idea.
You remember those days where people were like, what was it? Was it when Kavanaugh, this is even before the show. I just remember, and I think even during, like, these talks that we were having, there was still, like, you know, at least I was seeing pundits and stuff insisting, no, they're not gonna deal with Roe v. Wade. They said they were not going to. And then, of course, like, a year later, they do.
Right.
Know? Like, come on, guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, every single justice that's voted down or to overturn Roe versus Wade said in their confirmation hearings, that's settled law. We're not going to overturn that.
Yeah.
They all lied.
Of course, you know. And that's the thing, too. Like, you know, I remember growing up and you know, I don't know, maybe it was the school I went to. But, like, there was always this push of this almost idealistic view of our government, part of which was the Supreme Court being above politics, you know,
right.
Being this thing that, yeah, we want this to be just, you know, judging based on the facts sort of stuff, right? Like, and what the founders would have wanted, which in and of itself also carries its own, like, weird, you know, stuff.
Right. Boy, how that illusion got shattered, right?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, like, and it's funny because it got shattered sort of, I guess, for me, and I'd assume also for you, just sort of even having a passing, like, paying attention to what's actually happening. There's still plenty of people out there, and I would argue more than likely on more of the conservative side, but there's probably plenty of, like, you know, deceived, I guess, liberals thinking, like, no, that's how things should have been, you know? If we go back to I don't know, like, name a favorite president of this person, right? They'd be like, oh yeah, those were the days, right? That was the days when the Supreme Court was above politics, you know. The term I'd consistently hear when talking with people about this stuff would be like, when we weren't so polarized, right?
Come on,
man. Like, that was like the idea of oh, this is when politics weren't so toxic was because everyone was white. Probably, you know, women were still in the kitchen sort of thing, right? Not able to give their opinions on things. That's why things were so, like, a little, at least maybe felt a little more homogenous during
those years, exactly.
Right?
People, a lot of people would say that come at it from a very more privileged point of view, for
exactly,
sure.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, man. So, okay, I can only talk about the Supreme Court so long.
Yeah.
We've covered a heck of a lot of other things on our show here, too.
HB6, man.
Right.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, oh my god, we've covered
fun.
HB6 so many times. That was the, for anyone that doesn't remember, that was the scandal where First Energy bribed a whole bunch of Republican officials to pass legislation that would give them, basically allow them to tack a whole bunch of extra fees onto your bills to support some coal and nuclear power plants.
Yep, some of which were not even in the state.
Yes, yeah, there was it Indiana or Illinois?
I think it was Indiana. Yeah, there were some coal plants in Indiana, I think.
Right.
But yeah, that was fun just because, like, there seemed to always be something new almost every 2 weeks or something. Like,
yeah, we kept
like
coming
a new
back
big,
to it.
Almost like maybe it would be an interesting way to compare it to, like, on the federal level, the Trump stuff. Where it's like every other week there seemed to be a new bombshell sort of thing on these. Right?
Yeah, like, exactly. It was like our local Ohio version of that in a way.
Except perhaps maybe a little bit more relevant because it actually like affected people as opposed to just kind of political stuff happening, you know, which I think is still important, but like, you know, I don't know.
No, man, you're totally right about that. And some other big ones that we've covered were definitely... And this is one where I like to think that we actually had some really good reporting on.
Yeah.
Was the Norfolk Southern derailment in East Palestine.
Yeah, I thought we did a really good job with those ones, you know, consistently following what was going on there.
Yeah, that actually, one of the episodes where we covered that, one of the early ones, too, before it became, like, kind of, like, national news.
The hip thing to talk about.
Yeah, right. Right when it was just starting to blow up as a big topic on TikTok.
Right.
That was actually, I think, our most listened to episode ever.
Yeah.
Was, yeah, right when we were covering that, because there wasn't many news outlets out there covering that at the time, and we were one of the few, and I'm a little proud of that, I think.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I mean, I don't know if we'd necessarily, because, you know, there is that sort of differentiation between kind of what we do, which is, you know, like essentially news filtering and then commentary on it as opposed to like reporting.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But yeah, I think that was like the closest thing to like breaking a story, I guess. Right. In terms of the commentary world.
Yeah, exactly.
That we've done.
Right. And I feel like we do bridge that line a little bit, but that's mostly in the interviews we do.
Yeah. That's I think where we do more of the reporting aspect of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. One of the few areas where I feel like we were doing like actual like reporting as opposed to commentary, I would say I felt like was the murder of Jalen Walker and the trials surrounding that and everything surrounding that. We were able to interview some of the people that worked in the Freedom Block. I remember interviewing Raymond Green, who was a wonderful advocate there, an advocate for the Black community and an advocate against police violence. And, I feel like we were one of the very few outlets out there that was like willing to give them like the space to like really talk about these issues in depth, as opposed to most of like the, you know, like the TV stations here in Northeast Ohio who want like a 10-second soundbite and that's about all they want.
It's amazing how that kind of works. I mean, like on a certain level, you can almost, and this maybe might be the problem I feel like with the sort of, I guess for lack of a better term, like commodification of news, right? Like moving all of these news outlets into a more corporatist space is that sort of like, well, we need something that's popping, right? We need something that's popping off. Otherwise, if it's something that's, you know, people have seen before, then no one wants to watch it, right? And we want just the right amount of like, you know, train wreck, but at the same time, like a new kind of train wreck.
Right.
And when it comes to Black people getting shot, like, unfortunately, it's so common and they're just like, ah, we're past it. We're over it, you know?
Right.
And it's so, it's so crappy, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that's another one where, like, talking about how you were saying, like, so many news outlets move on real quick.
Yeah.
I think the one where we excelled in that was in our coverage of the train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah.
The East Palestine derailment. And that I think we kind of got to it before a lot of other major news outlets got to it. Right. And we stayed with it longer.
Yeah.
Maybe our listeners got a little annoyed by the fact we were covering it every week for like a couple of months. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope not. I hope none of you were annoyed because we felt that was very important and we felt like it was a story that wasn't getting told to the level that it deserved.
Right. And I mean, you know, this, and this is sort of the other thing too, when it comes to news, and like how the commodification of news has kind of made it worse, I would say, is, you know, yeah, I understand that, okay, every week maybe hearing the same story with a small update on it is kind of annoying maybe, but it's not annoying for the people who are living there, right? Like,
right.
They still have, and that was sort of the reason why we consistently had to, you know, bring up new things. I mean, it's the same thing, maybe even similarly to the various police shootings and the subsequent protests that we kind of covered as well, right? Again, like, you know, okay, yeah, another person died. You know, that's just kind of what happens out there. It's like, well, all right, that's maybe how you view it from, like, you know, your safety of your home, but like for the people who are in the midst of that stuff, you know, they still have not seen justice. They still have not, you know, had their problem solved. And so until that is that problem has been solved, essentially, right? Like, it should be covered, right? People should be aware that there is still a problem there. And, you know, to kind of circle back to the train derailment stuff, like, yeah, once it was kind of like determined, all right, well, Norfolk Southern, we've got the basic story. The thing was derailed. We got a bunch of crazy chemicals and stuff. All right, it's been cleaned up. That's sort of when a lot of news outlets wash their hands of it. Problem solved. You know, whatever happens, they'll figure it out, sort of thing.
Right.
But again, to the people that are living there, they're still, you know, having physical issues, right?
Yeah, right.
As a result of that, we're still we were still seeing new things come about in terms of like the types of chemicals that were being found in various locations. You know, that sort of stuff is still relevant, especially again to the people who are living there.
Yeah.
And that's why we think it should still be news and things that people, and it should still be something that people are made aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So switching gears here a little bit. We were talking earlier about like ways in which we did some like original reporting, and I just want to bring it up because this is one that I'm proud of.
Yeah,
this is a series of interviews that we did with all the candidates running for Akron mayor.
Yeah, that was great.
We interviewed most every candidate. We tried to interview all the candidates on the Democratic side. There was like two candidates, I believe, that just never got back to us. So, you know, if they're not going to reply to our emails or our messages or whatever, not much we can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did interview most of the candidates that were running for that. And I think that was a really informative thing. I know like a lot of people that I know, like in my day to day life, told me like, yeah, that actually helped me make my decision on who I was going to vote for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is to your point, right? That is actually, I think, the definition of reporting sort of stuff, right?
Like, yeah, right.
You are actually going to the source, asking the questions and informing people of what you find, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think that was important because to the best of my knowledge, I don't think anyone else did that here for the Akron mayoral race. And that's an important race, I felt like.
Yeah.
It was, you know, they had some debates, but there was nothing more like just sit down, long form interviews with each of the candidates. I think we're the only place that did that.
And that, again, you know, pointing back to the sort of commodification, even maybe in I don't know how many like local Akron news sort of stations there would be, but like certainly for place, even countywide, right? Like there's so many other things that they could be talking about that are more, you know, that'll maybe be a little bit more eye grabby, a little bit more of a dopamine hit, I guess, as opposed to like a long winded interview with a candidate, you know? So again, that's, you know, to once again, kind of, I guess, give my disdain for your common, news outlet.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. Well, I feel like on that, we could probably talk all day, but we can only go so long. Yeah. Before we kind of like wrap up things here, though, and I know I probably should have said this on the main segment, not in the bonus thing that not as many people are going to hear.
Yeah.
However, I just want to like give a shout out to all the crew that we've worked with this whole time that we've been a podcast and radio show.
Yeah.
All the people that have helped out, We've had Adonis has helped us out a bit. Anton has done some work with us. Mm-hmm. We've had, I know many of you have heard Chrissy's pieces and all the way that they have done many feature interviews for us as well. Daphne, who has done a ton of features for us. Someone that probably none of you have really heard from, but Diane Morgan was instrumental in getting this project off the ground to start.
Yep.
We've had Glenn, who did a few features for us as well. We've had Kathleen, who did some features. Kevin, who did a good bit of the editing over the course of this whole time that we've been a podcast. Mm-hmm, Kevin's helped out a ton with that. Am I forgetting anyone? I don't think so.
I think that's pretty much everyone that did stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Lisa help us out a little bit too. Over the time. I just thank you to everyone that's been on our crew.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel a little sentimental.
Yeah.
If we were taking this long of a break and not being entirely sure for it to come back, but
yeah.
Regardless,
right.
Thank you everyone that's helped us out, and thank you to everyone that's listened to us. Like, I never really thought that I'd actually have people that actually enjoy listening to the things that I want to ramble about, but here we are.
Yeah, for sure. Same.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess we can call it there, unless you had anything else you wanted to bring up, man.
No, I think I'm good. I'm good for now, at least.
Okay, well, yeah. Fair enough. That's going to wrap up our bonus segment here. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you stuck around long enough to listen to an entire bonus segment, too, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Really? That's super cool. Appreciate all of you a ton. And, like I mentioned at the end of the main show, we'll try to post on our social medias when we get close to the end of summer to let you know like where we're at, whether we're coming back or how we're going to work things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we come back in a different format or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have these answers now.
Yeah.
Check out our social medias, like, I don't know, probably like sometime in August or something.
Yeah, sounds about right.
We have, what is it, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Plenty of stuff.
YouTube.
Yeah.
There might even be some others I'm forgetting. I don't even know. But yeah, check out all social media. Just look for the Ohio Advocate. We're out there. We'll give you updates as they come in.
Yeah.
So on that, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
So we're going to sign off. Adios, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Like you said, it has been real.